When you go to the doctor's surgery with a health problem, the hope is that the doctor will diagnose the root cause of the problem and offer you a medicine or treatment to enable the problem to be overcome. Many medicines are designed to work with the body to enable you to heal, such as with antibiotics. There are some medicines that are more invasive in their treatment, that they don't work with the body, but they are harmful to the whole body, with the hope that they allow the body to regenerate in a healthy form and not in the form previously. Then on occasions, surgery is required, and this sees the removal of part or all of an infected part of the body with the hope that the rest of the body will not be affected by the ailment. And there are other types of treatments that might be given that act to alleviate the suffering that might be caused by an ailment, or reduce pain and give a better quality of life. These treatments may be used alongside other treatments that treat the root of the problem. But what can often be the problem regarding one's physical health is getting the correct diagnosis in the first place. And it can leave you feeling frustrated, worried, and anxious for what the future might hold. Your doctor might give you medication to mask or manage the pain, and although you may be able to carry on as normal for the most part, still, in the back of your mind, you know that the root of the problem is not being dealt with. And indeed, when it comes to mental health, an area where there is not enough understanding, often the root of the problem is never really identified and never really dealt with. People are often left with the option of receiving medication only that will get them through. And likewise, spiritual health is not understood in the secular world. Unfortunately, until one's spiritual health is taken seriously, additional problems regarding some forms of physical ill health and mental ill health will be left untreated, as doctors will not be able to find the root cause of the problem because they're searching in the wrong places. Now don't mishear me, I'm not saying that all physical health problems are caused by a lack of spiritual health, nor are all mental illnesses caused by poor spiritual health. But some are, and there is a relationship between spiritual, mental and physical health. In some cases, things can be exacerbated by ignoring one's spiritual health. We, as human beings, are more than just our mind and body. It's key to remember that we also have a spiritual soul. The helpful thing about diagnosing the problem that people suffer with to some degree regarding spiritual health is that we know what the problem is. We can get to the root cause of the problem and start treating it. The real problem is that we don't always like to take the medicine that will make us well. Sometimes we're forgetful to take the medicine, and other times we search for alternative remedies. Some may seem like they work for a while, but they only mask or hide the problem. And the problem, as Paul refers to in our passage today, is unbelief. Unbelief in our Creator God and the subsequent decision to not be in communion with him. And a preacher that I listened to once put it like this: the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. The heart wants what the heart wants, some people say, often as an excuse for a selfish act. Others say, the heart wants what it can't have, an observation that seems to have some truth behind it, perhaps. But we're still left with this problem of unbelief, and the reality that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart. And if we look throughout Scripture, we can identify that the desires of the human heart have led to humankind looking away from God, directing their gaze away from him, looking into the darkness away from the light, of turning their back on God and his ways. and this leads to enmity between God and humankind, and it leads to terrible spiritual health, which can affect mental and physical health too. We know well what happened in the Garden of Eden, don't we? Of how the actions of Eve and Adam led to humankind's fall from grace and created enmity between them. From perfect spiritual health, where God walked with them in the garden, to hiding away, of being absent from God's presence out of shame. We see it in many places in Scripture, and recently I've been reading regarding the great kings of Israel, and it is evident to see how their spiritual health is affected by the actions they take of turning away from God. For example, when Saul lusts for holding on to power, and when that overcomes him, and he hunts David down, we see him actively turning away from God's will. Out of jealousy and fear, Saul's spiritual health declines, to the point where he is so desperate to seek God's counsel that he goes to a medium to ask them to contact someone who has died, a prophet, that he might hear what he wants to hear regarding God's word for him. And this leads to terrible effects on the rest of Saul's life. His mental health declines with the decline in his spiritual health, and he ends up falling on his own sword, which isn't good for his physical health. And for David himself, when he sees Bathsheba and is captivated by her beauty, he sins repeatedly and even murders her husband. And Scripture tells us how the enmity that is created between himself and God through sin affects David's health and the health of those around him. And even as we look at the life of Jesus, in his earthly life, we see how he in his humanity is affected so greatly when he is separated from his Father in heaven. In the Garden of Gethsemane, when Jesus is praying earnestly while sweating droplets of blood from his brow, we see his humanity and his divinity being stretched to tearing point, as his concern for physical health tears at his spiritual health. It manifests in sweat, droplets with blood in it. That's how much it can affect your physical health. Jesus has the temptation there of turning away from his earthly mission to save himself. He's being torn apart from the Father's will. However, Jesus, who is perfect in his humanity as well as in his divinity, overcomes this. Yet, on the cross, when the Father turns his face away, we see that Jesus, with the sin of the world on him, dies a physical death, although his last words, commanding his spirit into the hands of the Father, show that Jesus retained to the last his spiritual health and unity with the Father, thus leading to his resurrection and his ascension. And from our reading from the Hebrews today, we're compelled to understand that God knows the human heart. In Hebrews it says, "No creature remains hidden before God. All are naked, laid bare before the eyes of the one to whom we must present an account." And what can pierce the heart? Well, Hebrews tells us, it's the word. It says, God's word is alive, you see. It is powerful, and it's sharper than a double-edged sword. It can pierce right in between soul and spirit, or joint and marrow. It can go straight to the point of what the human heart is thinking or intend to do. As easy as it is to diagnose the spiritual condition of the human being, and that it is unbelief the problem, or that the heart of the human problem is the problem of the human heart, God's antidote is as easily applied. It has to do with allowing God's word to penetrate the heart. It means living by God's word in Scripture, by his law, and by his promises for us. But more than that, it means receiving Jesus as Lord and Saviour, and allowing the Holy Spirit to reside in you, allowing for that communion with God. Remember who the Word is. John makes this clear in his first chapter of his Gospel. It says, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made." The Word is Jesus. Jesus must penetrate the heart. And what does it look like to take this medicine that heals the problem of the human heart? It has to do with professing Jesus as our Lord and Saviour, of wanting to be conformed to his way and not our own. It has to do with being baptised in water. Remember, being baptised in water is more than it appears. It is the point at which you consume the medicine you need, allowing God to penetrate your heart. When you go through the waters of baptism, you are dying with Jesus, and as you come out, you are reborn again into the likeness of Christ Jesus, and inviting God to baptize you by the Holy Spirit, that he may live within you. And the psalm we read earlier as well, 37, says that if we seek the Lord, he will grant your heart's desire. That is, if you long to be in communion with God, God will grant this to you. If you seek after something else, well, that will happen too. But anyone who wants the truth, who wants God in them, directing them, in communion with them, it's there for them. You just have to take the medicine. Both the reading we heard today from Luke's Gospel and from Hebrews reveals to us that God continues to pursue and persevere with his human creation. But it's clear also that communion is only possible if we take the medicine he provides. God is holy. He's completely clean from sin. The disease of the human heart cannot enter his presence. Can you imagine if the problem being unbelief was there, and then someone was before God carrying that unbelief with them? It would just make no sense, would it? You cannot be in the presence of God unless you believe in him and his ways. And yet, even in our sinful, fruitless state, as illustrated by the tree in our Gospel reading, God offers you a way from your unbelief for us to be renewed, restored, forgiven, and spiritually well. He offers you chance after chance after chance until the days of your earthly life are over. And there are ways to treat the human condition of the heart, and God has reached out with these ways throughout time, and they can be seen in Scripture. The law is kind of like an antibiotic, if you like. It could eliminate sin if we let it do its work and finish the course. But as the doctor tells you, you must finish the course. There has been no human being alive other than Jesus who has finished this course. You could look upon God's wrath when he did not allow Moses and his generation to inherit the promised land as being like an invasive treatment designed to get rid of that which can taint and infect the rest of the body. But the disease of the human condition of unbelief returned. The flood can be seen like surgery, where the sinful were cut off. But the disease of the human condition, even after the flood, grew back. But there is another way. It's like a transplant, if you like, of allowing God, by his word and through his Holy Spirit to slice through and into your heart and transplant himself in his spirit there inside of you. Our loving God always has wanted this cure for the human condition since the fall, and he has allowed humans the opportunity to try to take their medicine many times over. Through Jesus Christ, our hearts can be healed and we can reside in communion with God forever. But we must take the medicine. If your doctor says to you, "This is the diagnosis of your condition. If you take the medicine, finish the course, you will be well." You would finish the course, wouldn't you? There'd be no good you turning round to the doctor, having not taken the medication, and saying, "Look, I'm still unwell." And he'll say, "Have you taken the medicine?" "No, I haven't." "Well, that's your problem then." It's exactly the same here. God has given us the medicine. We must take it to be well, to be reconciled with God. May it be so for each of you. Amen.